I said, gesturing at the one of him and Ryan. That one's cute. I hoped the word choice came off as the, aw, little kids are cute way, instead of the, your cousin is still cute and I want him to love me way.
Thanks. It's one of my mom's favorites.
You and Ryan seem so different. I eyed him closely to make sure that my comment registered as normal. I didn't want to pry or bring up Ryan where he had no place. The last thing I needed was Max suspecting my crush.
Yeah, I get that a lot. I think that's why we get along so well.
That's nice, I said decidedly. Being friends with someone since you were little, I mean.
Like you and Tessa,
he said. Tessa must have said something at the lunch table. I wondered what else they talked about during that hour. Yeah, I said, like me and Tessa.
I like her a lot, he said, glancing over at me. She's so laid back and cool. Plus, she has the best taste in music. I would never have guessed that her parents own a hotel chain.
I bit down a frown, thinking of the night before. Yeah, well, it's hard sometimes. Her parents aren't around very much. She spent a lot of time at my house when we were kids.
Yeah, she mentioned that.
His eyes returned to the screen.
Same for me. Single mom in medical school and all. I half lived at my aunt and uncle's house.
Oh. I felt awkward, unsure of what to say about that. I'm sorry. He looked up.
About what?
About your dad? I nearly cringed, regretting my words.
Oh,
he snorted.
Don't be. I'm not.
I nodded, feeling stupid and intrusive.
He's still alive or whatever,
Max said.
But I never see him. He and my mom were together in college. When she got pregnant, he bailed.
I felt my eyes widen. I assumed that Max's dad lived here, some tall guy with dark hair and a crisp suit. I was also surprised that Max would divulge all this to someone he barely knew. Maybe he could sense that my family situation was weird, too. So your mom graduated from college and raised you by herself while going to medical school? I hadn't exactly meant to say this, and now it seemed like I was prying again. With Ryan Chase around, sentences crumbled into disjointed words before they could leave my mouth, if only that was happening now.
She did indeed.
I shook my head in disbelief. Wow.
Yep, she's pretty cool.
Wait, I said. So she's Dr. Watson? He laughed.
Yep. Just hasn't found her Sherlock yet. And look at you with the literature references. Quizball suits you already.
I tilted my head to one side, giving him a disbelieving look. Everyone knows Holmes and Watson.
Maybe, he said. But I assure you, we need the pop culture expertise.
So when you say pop culture, are we talking current pop culture?
I'd say last 50 years or so with TV shows and movies. But sometimes they ask about current day celebrities and stuff. Some leagues do all pop culture questions. Those are called trash tournaments.
So let me get this straight, I said, lacing my fingers together. So what I'm bringing to the team is trash?
No.
Max held his hands up in a halt motion.
Well, okay, kind of. But trash isn't meant to be derogatory, that's just quizbowl jargon.
Great, I muttered. The trash collector could be a new nickname. Get in line, boys, my dance card is filling up fast. An hour passed quickly once the others arrived. I'd had a couple of classes with Malcolm Park in the past. He was the kind of friendly that you noticed. A student council extrovert, involved in everything. He always had a travel mug of coffee with him, like an adult going to his office instead of a kid going to school. I'd always assumed that the caffeine was the source of his power. He and Maggie Brennan would have made a winning ticket in any election. Malcolm greeted me so enthusiastically that I felt like I'd been his dream choice for a fourth player. Lauren Mathers leveled that feeling out. She shook my hand firmly and said, "I'm glad to have a fourth seat filler. I want Quiz Bowl on my resume for every year of high school." Lauren was petite, with sandy blonde hair that fell to her shoulders. Based on a picture of her, she could have been typecast as a cheerleader in a TV show, except that she moved in purposeful jerks of motion, as if she were an alien learning to navigate with a human body. It didn't help that she spoke in flat tones and, as far as I could tell, did not smile.
"Coventry must be so mad that we stole you," Malcolm said, settling in.
"They're fine without me," Max replied. "More than fine, they'll be tough to beat."
They divvied up subjects: physics, chemistry, and history to Max, biology and math to Lauren, political science and economics to Malcolm, literature and pop culture to me. Then the categories got way more nuanced. Max, computers / technology. Latin. Malcolm, military stratagem, plant life, business practices. Lauren, medical terms and pharmaceuticals, instrumentation.
"Not all music," Lauren said, eyes flashing at me. "I know key signatures, famous classical musicians, and some Broadway musicals. Popular music will be on you."
She pronounced it popular, as if she herself were enunciating from a Broadway stage.
"Paige," Malcolm said, "what subtopics do you feel comfortable with?"
None. God, I wasn't an expert in anything. But I did have topics I'd been obsessed with as a kid. And I did read a lot about embarrassingly uncool things. Here, those things might be, if not cool, then at least helpful. I took a deep breath. "Astronomy. Constellations, number of moons and their names, that kind of thing. State trivia, like mottos and birds, flags. Horses, astrology, Greek gods. I know a bit of French and French culture. Some basic theology and philosophy." The last two became subjects of my expertise as I desperately grappled for some kind of comfort in Aaron's death. Not that I'd tell them that. We divided up the world piece by piece, splitting by continents to study locations, populations, and basic facts. I got North America, which proved they were going easy on me. Max led us through a mock match, reading questions from the website, and I sat stunned by the specificity of the questions. Why the hell would I know the Malaysian port city of Malacca? Or that there was a pope named Formosus? I didn't even know those were words. Suddenly, this all felt like a massive mistake. The excruciating uptick of a roller coaster hill, as you start to doubt your safety and sanity. I wanted to bail out. I excused myself to the bathroom, where I stared at my own face and tried to calm down. Anxiety wasn't a new part of my life. It had come and gone in crippling bursts for some time. But I couldn't weigh which would make me more panicky, going through with Quiz Bowl or quitting. "Focus on the plan," I told myself, "and how good it will feel to cross something off." As I exited the bathroom, I couldn't help but glance in the nearest room. There was a bed with a blue comforter tangled on top of striped sheets. Above it, a large M hung on the wall. So this was Max's room. I peered in without stepping any closer. I didn't mean to be nosy, but I had never really seen the inside of a boy's room before. There were at least 50 paper airplanes that I could see, made from all different patterns of paper,
They were attached to a string suspended around the room as if flying in neat lines. I thought of the note Max had passed me earlier in the week, folded into a tiny plane. A built-in bookshelf covered the whole left wall, with textbooks stacked at every level. There was a poster from a sci-fi-looking movie I'd never seen, and a tabletop globe, and a record player with vinyl stacked beside it. Yep, this was Max's room, all right. For some reason, it made me smile. The space was so lived in, so clearly someone's happy place. When I returned downstairs, my new teammates were packing up.
I look forward to working with you.
Lauren shook my hand again.
I hope you'll be able to contribute meaningfully.
She nodded at Max and Malcolm, the brisk acknowledgement of a drill sergeant, and walked out the door. My mouth hung open a bit.
Don't mind her, you'll get used to it,
Malcolm whispered before ducking out behind her.
Glad to have you, Paige.
Sorry about Lauren, Max said. She doesn't really have a filter.
No big deal, I lied.
In one sentence, Lauren had homed in on my exact fear. That I wouldn't be able to contribute meaningfully.
Mom! Max yelled into the hallway. I'm taking Paige home!
Oh! I heard from the other room. By the time I pulled my bag onto my shoulder, Julie, Ms. Watson, Dr. Watson, had appeared from the hallway smiling.
How did it go?
The eye contact suggested that the question was directed at me, but I had no idea how it had gone, or if the rest of the team was regretting their decision like I was.
Good,
I said, glancing at Max for confirmation. I think.
Great. You'll have so much fun. Max loves Quiz Bowl.
We should go, he said.
She stepped closer to me.
It was so nice to meet you, Paige. You're welcome over any time.
And then she was hugging me. It didn't last long enough for me to react, but the perma-smile remained when she stepped back. Maybe hugs and excessive smiling were her version of that look. I smiled back anyway, and glanced at Max, whose face was tinged with pink again.
Okay, he said, tugging at my arm. Seriously. Leaving now. Sorry about my mom,
Max said once we were in his SUV.
She's been worried about me readjusting to public school. She probably thinks you're a harbinger of social normalcy for me.
I gave a bitter laugh because social normalcy eluded me at every turn. And hey, I socialized with you despite your Firefly shirt. This made him smile.
Yeah, that couldn't have hurt.
We were quiet for a few moments. It didn't feel awkward exactly, but I wasn't sure what to say. We pulled onto the main drag beneath the shade of the wide oak trees. The very tips of the leaves were the color of a just-lit match. Soon the whole line of trees would explode in fiery yellows and reds, engulfing the town in autumn.
I know she doesn't mean to compare us, Max said, pausing to bite at the thumbnail on his left hand. But Ryan and I are the same age. It's hard not to compare, or, I guess, contrast.
I nodded, my ears perking up at the possibility of talking about Ryan Chase. Max sighed.
Ryan always had this big group of friends all around him, and a serious girlfriend. Not that it worked out or whatever.
I looked over at him. He was still steering with one hand. Yeah, that must have been hard on him.
Yeah, Leanne isn't my favorite person, but he really cares about her.
Present tense. My whole body prickled with jealousy, but I felt validated in Max's dislike of her. This proved that being friendly with Max would give me the upper hand.
Anyway. Max shook his head, glancing over at me. Do you have your driver's license?
Of course I do. I felt myself blush, even though I was speaking to a guy in a sci-fi fandom shirt. I just don't have a car.
Oh, he said. Sorry, that was rude of me.
I blew my bangs out of my face. It's not so bad, really. I mean, Tess is almost a year older than I am anyway, so she's been driving me around for a while.
Yeah, Ryan and I drive together a lot, even though we both have our own cars. It's just more fun, even though he has the worst taste in music.
We turned down my street, and I pointed toward my house. I'm the third house on the right, I said. Before I could stop myself, I let out a groan. My dad's car was parked in the driveway.
What's wrong?
Max asked, frowning as he pulled into the driveway. Nothing. My dad's just here.
And that's bad?
It's a long story. He shrugged, sliding the gear shift into park.
I've got time.
I considered telling him, for reasons I didn't understand. Maybe it was because he'd told me personal stuff about his own family. Maybe it was that, as far as I could tell, he didn't know about Aaron, so he didn't see me through a lens of pity. You won't tell anyone? I sounded like a little kid bartering in secrecy.
Of course not. I'm really good with secrets.
Me too, I said. I settled back in my seat, propping up my knees on the dashboard. My parents divorced when I was 10.
I'm sorry,
Max said automatically, the way I'd said it when he mentioned that his dad wasn't around. Don't be, I said, quoting him. I'm not. He cocked his head, waiting for me to explain. I know, it's weird that their divorce never upset me. I trailed off, realizing my attitude must have sounded heartless to Max, who had only ever known one parent. So I rephrased. My parents, as a couple, were miserable. They were only happy apart. They were better...
parents?
Max finished for me. Exactly. Anyway, a little over a week ago, my mom told me that she was seeing someone, I said. And that someone is my dad.
You're kidding.
I wish. They've been dating for 4 months.
Wow.
Max shook his head, mouthing wow again. At first, I thought I could commiserate with my younger sister, but she doesn't even think it's weird. I feel like I'm the only person in the history of time who has experienced the awful phenomenon of watching your divorced parents date. He glanced over at me. Sorry, I said, giving a little laugh. I didn't mean for that to sound so solipsistic. I paused, now embarrassed. It was an old tendency, a habit I thought I had broken, to use bigger words when I got worked up. I meant that...
I know what solipsistic means.
I sighed, regaining my fervor. It's like I've floated out of my body and I'm watching my parents flirt with each other. My original plan was to ignore it and pretend they were both dating someone I didn't know.
Until,
Max guessed, until yesterday, when my mom announced that she wants the four of us to go to dinner next weekend, and attendance is not optional.
Yikes,
he said.
What are you gonna do?
Max and I sat there together for the next half hour as the sun dropped in the sky, tangerine smearing into fading blue. I should have been embarrassed about unloading on a stranger, but that was just it. He hardly knew me, let alone my family, so his opinion was unbiased. He listened as I detailed all of the ways my parents' relationship would go wrong and hurt everyone involved. But, Max said after I had wound down from the last part of my rant,
what if it doesn't go wrong?
This isn't the parent trap. Stuff like this doesn't happen in real life. A small smile spread across Max's face.
It does, though. Not very often, but it does.
I gave him the same disbelieving look I gave Morgan when she said that this season of The Bachelor was going to end in true love. Believe me, my parents are not going to wind up as a happily ever after.
Maybe not. But even if they don't, that doesn't mean it wasn't worth it for them.
How do you figure? He twisted in his seat, turning toward me.
Do you ever go back and reread books that you really love?
Yes. This was probably so much of an understatement that it was actually a lie.
And you know what happens, right? Even in the tragedies.
I narrowed my eyes instead of responding.
Look, he said, gesturing with his hands now. Romeo and Juliet manage a double suicide. Beth dies and Lori marries Amy. Rhett leaves Scarlett.
You read really girly books. He paused to roll his eyes at me.
I was trying to use examples you would know.
Sure.
The point is that we already know it doesn't work out, but we reread them anyway, because the good stuff that comes before the ending is worth it.
This took me aback. It was a compelling argument, one I'd never considered.
Also, Max shook his finger as if giving a lecture. In books, sometimes the foreshadowing is so obvious that you know what's going to happen, but knowing what happens isn't the same as knowing how it happens. Getting there is the best part.
It made sense, I had to admit. Max stayed silent, waiting for me to respond. I stared down at my lap. He'd handed me a new mindset wrapped in literary references. Maybe it was the near darkness, protecting this conversation in a way that daylight never could. I felt cocooned, separate from home and school and everywhere else. Thank you. The words were hushed in the dark space between us, and I looked his way. His eyes found mine.
You're welcome.
Chapter 9. The night before my first quiz bowl match, I dreamed of drowning. As usual, I plummeted under the water, clear pool water this time instead of a murky river, until my whole head was submerged. My gasps for air became gulps of liquid. My lungs nearly burst and my open eyes stung and blurred. After what felt like an hour, I startled awake in the darkness, heart slamming against my ribcage. I wiped my palms against my duvet cover and tried to slow my breathing. Tears rolled, as they always did, the ending credits to this nightmare. I cried out of relief that it wasn't real. I cried because Aaron was still gone, and it would always be so achingly unfair. I got my laptop from my desk and reread script dialogue. In the glow of the screen's light, I mouthed the words I'd written, trying to imagine them acted out. And for the thousandth time, I pulled up NYU's webpage and found the screenwriting program. The deadline was approaching, and I already had my Mission District script polished. I'd need a school transcript, a teacher recommendation, and the $100 application fee, which would take a serious chunk out of my birthday and Christmas money bank account. But I wanted to do it for myself. And I wanted to do it for my grandma, to show her I could be as brave as she was. When I finally fell back asleep, I dreamed of Ryan Chase. That's more like it, I told my brain after the alarm woke me up. I spent extra time getting ready, hoping that looking good would give me more confidence going into Quiz Bowl. But I couldn't find the shirt I decided on. I tugged a sweater on and opened my door. Mom, have you seen my plaid button-down shirt, the blue and white checked one? No, sorry, honey. My mom called.
I had only a minute or two before Tessa picked me up, and I searched frantically through my hamper. Finally, it dawned on me. Cameron! I yelled. I heard her footsteps padding down the hall, but she didn't answer.
What?
She said, crossing her arms from the doorway of my room. Did you borrow a plaid shirt without asking? She avoided my gaze.
Well, you weren't home for me to ask.
God, Cameron, you know I plan my outfits out. I picked out my outfits the Sunday before each school week to make sure everything was clean and ironed. You're not even allowed in my room.
So wear something else. What's the big deal?
Where did you put the shirt?
It's in my hamper.
Cameron! I shrilled.
God, chill out,
she said, rolling her eyes.
Drama queen.
Girls, my mom said, ducking into referee. Enough. Cameron, apologize to your sister and go finish getting ready.
Sorry, Cameron said over her shoulder.
I bet, I grumbled, pulling my bag onto my shoulder. I'd have to wear this stupid sweater. My mom sighed.
I'll have a talk with her about staying out of your room. No exceptions.
But you could cut her some slack, you know? I don't know why you girls can't get along. I looked at her as if this were one of the dumbest comments ever made. Maybe because Cameron only thinks about Cameron and we have nothing in common.
What about the fact that you're sisters?
I thought about this for a moment. I didn't really see how this bonded us other than genetically. Sure, we had inherited a few of the same physical qualities, but in terms of interests and even personality, Cameron and I had no common ground whatsoever. My mom sighed again, seeing that she was getting nowhere with me.
She looks up to you, you know?
No, she doesn't.
Yes, Paige, she does. You should try to remember what it's like to be in junior high.
Pass, I said. High school sucks enough, thanks. And with that, Tessa's car horn beckoned me to school.
You know where my locker is, right?
Max asked as we left English class. I nodded.
Meet me there after school and I'll walk with you to the Quiz Bowl match room.
Okay, I said, thanks.
Are you nervous?
A little, I admitted.
Hey,
a guy said from near us. He was leaning against a locker, wearing an oversized sweatshirt and looking right at me. I recognized him. Josh something. A stoner kid who used to live in my neighborhood. Nice enough, but a total burnout. His eyes were always bloodshot, and as far as I could remember, he'd never spoken to me directly. He sat in the back of my math class and always had his head down, hoodie up.
Hey, grammar girl.
I closed my eyes, trying to convince myself that this had not just happened. Josh rode the same bus as I did during the Chrissy Cohen years. I opened my eyes to find Max staring at me, wide-eyed with delight.
Grammar girl?
He mouthed at me.
Did you take notes in math yesterday?
Stoner Josh asked.
My dad's gonna kill me if I don't pull a C.
Yeah, I said, even though a part of me wanted to punish him for calling me grammar girl. You can look at them before class if you want.
Cool, thanks.
I turned away, not caring whether Max caught up. I felt the heat of humiliation creeping up my neck. Max began, easily lengthening his strides to keep up with me. I could see him in my peripheral vision, suppressing a grin again.
When do I get to meet Grammar Girl?
Never.
Are you sure?
He asked, eyes following me as I stared ahead.
Because she sounds awesome.
I glanced over at him as he dodged the crowd, struggling to keep pace with me.
Ow!
He cried as his elbow connected with an open locker door.
Look, I am in physical pain because I am so dedicated to the genesis of Grammar Girl.
Fine, I sighed as we made the turn toward the cafeteria.
He was still walking with me even though this wasn't his lunch period. I stopped, crossing my arms.
Do you remember me telling you how much I hated Chrissy Cohen because she used to make fun of me on the bus?
Max nodded. Morgan rode the bus home with me one day in sixth grade. My usual seat was taken, so we sat in the last open seats near Chrissy and her sidekick. She turned to us and said, "Hell no. Sixth graders do not sit next to Amber and I."
His grin widened.
"And you corrected her?"
The memory still made me shudder. I'd thought it was my moment. I was smart and I could stand up to her.
I said, "It's Amber and me, don't they teach you that by eighth grade?"
But it backfired. By the end of the week, she had everyone on bus 84 calling me Grammar Girl. She moved away later that year, but it sort of stuck. Apparently, it's still stuck. I glanced up at Max, who was beaming as if he'd discovered a pile of gold.
"Grammar Girl," he repeated, entranced. "I love it."
"That's enough out of you."
"Not quite. I can't believe you lied to me."
"What?" My eyebrows scrunched together. "When?"
"You," he said, pointing at me, "were supposed to tell me any and all nicknames."
I opened my mouth to protest, but I had no defense. Grammar Girl had entered my mind that day we did the name worksheet in class, but I hadn't mentioned it. I never, ever thought it would come up again.
Max looked incredulous.
"I gave you MaxiPad, and you held out on me."
I stuttered while I tried to think of an excuse, but Max was already stepping away from me, walking backward as he shook his head.
"I'm disappointed, Janie," he said.
Raising his voice so it would carry amid the bustle of the hallway, he repeated,
"Disappointed."
People turned to look at me, but I laughed despite myself.
"Hey," Morgan said, now standing by my side. "What was that about?"
I rolled my eyes. "Nothing." She peered down the hallway at Max.
"Why did he call you Janie?"
Long story, not important. We turned toward the lunchroom where our table was empty. Normally Kaylee got there first, claiming it for us. I sat down next to Morgan, who busied herself with unpacking her homemade healthy lunch. She was concentrating a little too hard on unwrapping her turkey and hummus pita.
"Morgan, everything okay?"
She sighed.
"We got into a fight this morning, Kaylee and me."
I resisted saying Kaylee and I. Now was not the time. I'd sensed some underlying friction between Morgan and Kaylee for a few days now.
"About what?"
"On the way to school, I was telling her about some feminist advocacy project I'm spearheading for Empower this year, and when I looked over, she was texting Eric. While I was talking to her about stuff that is really important to me."
Morgan's face flushed with the remembrance of it.
"And it's like, you know me. I've wanted to fall in love since the first time I saw Mulan, but not at the expense of being emotionally unavailable to my friends. Then, Kaylee accused me of being oversensitive, which made it worse, of course."
I twisted the ends of my hair. They fought occasionally, we all did.
But where Morgan wanted to talk it through, Kaylee shut down.
"I'm sure she was just embarrassed that you called her out and she bit back."
"Maybe." She took a big bite of her pita and chewed with particular determination. "But it's like, ever since she got back from camp, she hasn't been fully here with us. And I'm happy for her, I really am. But we've been her primary people for most of her life. And when this random guy shows up, we're secondary? That sucks."
I chewed on my lower lip.
It was always a treacherous middle ground, making one friend feel heard and understood without piling on against another friend. You know what? I think this is still really new for her. And since Eric goes to a different school, I bet Kaylee just wants to make sure they're still connecting. But that'll wear off, you know, with time. I guess I didn't think about it like that. Morgan sighed. I know you're right. It's just hard. When Kaylee showed up a few minutes late, Morgan's head jerked up. Look, about this morning, Morgan started.
Let's not, Kaylee said, cutting her off. We were both cranky. No big deal.
I spent the rest of the period being overly chatty to compensate for the tension. The first quiz bowl match was a home game. I don't know why I imagined us sitting on the stage in the auditorium. We were just in a senior hallway classroom with long tables facing each other. Max chatted to me after we sat down, but I could barely hear him. My palms were sweaty, even though there was no audience, except the other team and their faculty advisor. Lauren strode in and took her place, nodding to Max and me. The informality surprised me. Malcolm stood over with the other team, meeting a new member and laughing with the other team's captain until the match started. The moderator was the other team's coach, as decided by a coin toss, and I wished Ms. Pepper would have won. The room was strangely quiet. When I had imagined the match, I'd heard game show music. Max showed me how to use the buzzer, and I wiped my hands on my jeans under the table. We began with no ceremony, but the other team's coach saying,
"Okay, let's begin."
Max crushed a few toss-ups right off the bat. Copernicus, Ergs, Kalinin, and Bardot the Doll. And a few other words that had absolutely no meaning to me. Malcolm chimed in with the president of the Sudan and a medal winner from the, I kid you not, 1896 Olympic Games. Lauren named Hopper as the painter of summer interior, which I'd never heard of. When we got a computational math question about slopes, she barely scratched the equation onto her notepad before answering correctly, -3. St. John's went on a streak toward the end of the second round. They beat us to the punch a number of times, and Malcolm and Max each got one question wrong. Lauren only buzzed in when she was sure. St. John's flubbed their last bonus question, which was literature-related. Max glanced at me, and seeing my wide-eyed ignorance, quickly answered,
"The O. Henry Awards."
20 points to Gryffindor. The longer I went without answering, the more claustrophobic I felt. I wanted to slink from my seat to the floor and then slither out the door. I doubted anyone would notice my absence. A few times an answer popped into my mind right away, but I never felt sure enough to buzz in. My guesses were only right about half the time. I contributed nothing to the lightning round. We got to pick from four possible categories, including one about the periodic table. The moderator could have asked my teammates those questions in their sleep, and they would have answered them between snores. Before the last round, Max leaned over to me.
"Answer the next one, no matter what it is. You've got to get your first buzz over with."
I looked at him with what I'm sure was total horror. "I can't." Malcolm leaned in on my other side.
"He's right, Paige. Next time St. John's answers one wrong, push it. We have nothing to lose."
My opportunity came soon after. The moderator began,
"This female frontiersman, born Martha Canary,"
buzz from St. John's.
"Annie Oakley."
"Incorrect. Oakhurst."
Max leaned back in his chair, and Lauren folded her hands together. Malcolm nudged me. I hadn't even heard the whole question. I only knew one other woman from the Wild West, but they were giving me no choice. My heart tried to escape through my rib cage. My mouth went so dry that I could barely speak the words. "Calamity Jane?"
"That is correct,"
The moderator said this in his same monotone, but my mind heard, that is correct. Malcolm nudged me again, twice this time, excited. Max didn't look at me, but smiled knowingly. We won, with no pomp but a weak round of applause from the other team and Ms. Pepper. I sat back in my chair, taking an exhale that felt like my first, since before the match began. I wouldn't have remembered Calamity Jane, Lauren said. I didn't know how to respond, but she didn't wait for me. Good work. You were more useful than I thought you'd be. Thank you, I said, and she gave a nod. Max, Malcolm, pleasure as always, Lauren said, and she saw herself out. Malcolm got up to chat with the other team, and Max stayed next to me as I came down from the adrenaline rush. I glanced at my phone. That was only 45 minutes. It felt like 2 hours.
It gets less stressful, Max said. You were great.
Oh, be serious. I got one. Ms. Pepper broke away from the other team's advisor and came to our table. Paige, excellent first showing. Most first-timers don't even buzz in. I threw a sidelong glance at Max. I was peer-pressured. He shrugged, unrepentant.
My grandpa always said, you learn to swim when someone pushes you in the deep end.
A shiver went through me, cold and bracing, but I tried to maintain an impassive facial expression. Max went on chatting with Ms. Pepper while last night's nightmare replayed on loop.
You okay?
I heard Max ask. Me? I said, looking up. Yeah, fine, just thinking. I had the nightmare again that night. When I awoke, I wiped my tears on my pajama sleeve and went to my desk. I put a line on my plan through item number 2, new group. And as I tried to fall back asleep, I told myself this. I may still be stumbling through these steps, but at least I'm stumbling forward. Chapter 10.
Remind me what we're doing here again, Tessa said, taking in the wide scope of the stadium before us.
I had suggested that we attend the homecoming football game. In truth, my motive was mostly chase-based, but I'd convinced Tessa to come on the grounds of it being a quintessential high school experience. Besides, the October homecoming game was always the most attended game of the year, so it was sort of like a party. Or so I told them. I'm participating in a school event, I said. Tessa jerked her head toward me, her expression softening as she realized I was referencing my plan.
You're right. Maybe it'll be fun.
It will be fun, Morgan said, linking arms with Tessa.
Morgan loved school spirit so much that she broke her cardinal redhead rule, no red clothes. Her red polo shirt was the one exception, and it came complete with a warrior insignia on the lapel. Tessa didn't own a single item of Oakhurst Warriors apparel, but still wore a simple red V-neck with jeans.
Kaylee was coming separately, but at least she was coming to the game and sleeping over at Tessa's afterward. It seemed like every other weekend she was busy with Eric, whom we still hadn't met. At least tonight, it wasn't Eric who was keeping her from us. Her brother was home from his first semester of college and had offered to drop her off after they had family dinner. We beat her there and immediately agreed that we should have showed up sooner. The stands were packed, lined edge to edge with fans in red and gold.
There! Morgan said, pointing to the right side of the stands, where the bleacher space left was barely enough to fit 4 people, and we hurried toward it.
Paige!
A voice from somewhere in the stands called as we neared our seats.
My eyes searched in between the rows, wondering who I knew at a sporting event. But then I saw Max, tall above the people in front of him, waving at me to come over. And standing right next to him, Ryan Chase. I headed over to them as the girls set up camp in the bleachers.
"Hey," Max said.
He was wearing an Oakhurst Warriors t-shirt that looked certifiably vintage, its press-on letters curling up at the edges. Ryan Chase grinned over at me.
"Hey, Paige."
"Hey, Ryan." I attempted to flash him a flirty yet unassuming smile. I had no way of telling, of course, but I probably looked deranged. And then, the inevitable question.
"Is Tessa here?"
Ryan asked. "Yeah," I said, gesturing toward my friends. Ryan and Max waved up at them, and they waved back.
"I didn't have you pegged as the sports type,"
Max told me. "Right back at you."
"That's true," Ryan said. "Hate sports. Like school."
I looked Max up and down. "And yet it doesn't seem that you've brought a book."
"My mom wants me to be actively social, remember?"
he said, using air quotes.
"Hates sports, but likes hanging out with me."
Ryan reached up to ruffle Max's hair as though Max were his younger brother. I continued grinning like an idiot, thrilled to be on the inside of Ryan's conversational trivialities. "You should have worn the Firefly t-shirt too." I gave Max a sly smile. Ryan laughed.
"Oh man, she's seen that."
Max scoffed at me.
"Low blow, Janie."
"That," I said, "was for tattling to your mom." The clock was down to less than 5 minutes until the start of the game. People were still cramming into the stands, and I should have played it cool and gone back to my friends, but I felt like I'd been given a real opportunity.
"I'm going to get a hot dog,"
Max announced.
"Anyone else want one?"
"Definitely."
Ryan pulled a few bills from his wallet.
"Paige?"
I was hungry, and it would mean that I could stay here for a few more minutes without it being weird. "Sure, why not?" I reached into my pocket to find a $5 bill that I knew was there somewhere.
"Let me get it,"
Ryan said, handing cash to Max. I opened my mouth to protest, but he cut me off.
"Seriously, hot dogs are a buck or something. I would like to pay as a thank you for razzing Max about his spaceship apparel."
"Thank you, Ryan,"
Max said sarcastically. "Okay," I beamed at Ryan. "Well, thank you."
"Condiments?"
Max yelled back the question as he made his way down the metal steps.
"Just mustard,"
I called to him.
"Hey, that's how I eat mine, too,"
Ryan said, as if there was a one in a million chance of this. Given the football snack stand offerings, there were exactly 4 ways to eat hot dogs. Ketchup, mustard, both, or neither. But hey, common ground was common ground, so I matched his enthusiasm anyway.
"Cool,"
I said. There was silence between us for a moment, and my mind went totally blank. I couldn't think of anything except for the phrase, "Think of something to say. Think of something to say." "Hot dogs are so good," I said after what felt like minutes. What did I just say? I could almost hear a studio audience laughing uncomfortably.
"Oh, totally."
Ryan nodded as if what I said was a legitimate contribution to the conversation.
"Perfect game day food."
I was talking to Ryan Chase about hot dogs. Hot dogs. I assured myself it was better than nothing, but I had to think of something better. "Okay," I told myself. "I don't have to craft deeply meaningful banter here. I just have to string together words, any words." "Did you ever think about playing football?" I asked. "Since track's in the spring?"
Nah, he said.
Not really.
Cue crickets. If I couldn't think of anything, what did Leanne Woods talk to him about for 2 years? Maybe they just looked into each other's eyes for hours, occasionally remarking at their own attractiveness. What about running cross-country in the fall? I asked. Apparently, my idea of chatting with Ryan Chase meant conducting an impromptu interview about his interest in sports. But maybe this would turn into a British sitcom, painful awkwardness somehow becomes humor, and then those two awkward people fall adorably in love.
Eh, I like the speed of track and field, the different events and all that.
I already knew this, of course, from obsessively eavesdropping in English class for the first week. Cool. A loud whistle blew overhead and a roar erupted from the crowd as the team took to the field. Ryan cheered, with one hand on either side of his mouth, and I clapped, trying to fit in. Max pushed his way back toward us with a stack of hot dogs wrapped in foil.
Thanks, man, Ryan said, his eyes glued to the field.
He had rotated his body away from me, already engrossed in the game. I took my hot dog and mustard for Max. I should probably get back to my friends. Thanks for the hot dog.
No problem, Ryan said.
Thanks, Max.
Yep. See you, Janie.
There you are,
Morgan called as I apologized to the at least 20 people I had to climb over.
Did you go down to concessions without us? Tessa pointed to the foil-clad hot dog in my hand.
No. I paused for a minute, deliberating. I couldn't keep it to myself, so I blurted out, Ryan Chase bought it for me. Morgan gasped.
Jealous?
Ryan Chase bought you a hot dog,
Tessa repeated, her voice flat. I bobbed my head happily as I sat between them.
Yeah. Are you going to eat it?
Morgan glanced at the hot dog. Tessa's face crumpled in disgust.
As opposed to what?
I don't know. Saving it as a memento or something?
We both stared at her. Tessa found words first.
That is sick, Morgan.
I made a show of unwrapping the foil and distributing the mustard. I chewed exaggeratedly.
Mmm. Kaylee!
Morgan yelled near my ear. She waved her arms wildly until Kaylee spotted us and jogged up the bleachers. They'd bounced back from their tiff like they always did. The people in our row parted to let her through, and Kaylee shimmied over them. Her tote bag was bloated with, I assumed, pajamas and sleepover supplies for the night we had planned at Tessa's house.
God, finally, Tessa commented as Kaylee sat down.
I know, she said. It's my brother's fault. What did I miss?
Ryan Chase gave Paige a hot dog, Morgan said.
Kaylee looked confused.
Is that some sort of metaphor?
Kaylee,
I shrieked, reaching over to smack her leg. No, perv. I shrank into myself with embarrassment as they burst into giggles. They could laugh all they wanted. Ryan Chase had purchased a gift for me. And now, the foil was wadded up in my pocket. Proof that it had happened. I hardly paid attention to the game, sneaking glances down at him. My friends chattered through most of the game, pausing to clap along with the school cheers, and it felt wonderfully normal. I, Paige Hancock, was hanging out at a football game with my friends.
So,
Morgan said as we filed down the bleachers, has the hot dog charmed you into a crush on Ryan Chase?
No,
I lied. It was nice, but it was just a hot dog.
Ryan Chase's hot dog isn't enough for Paige.
Kaylee snorted with laughter, and so did Tessa.
Oh, Morgan, don't look at me like that. You make it too easy.
Whatever,
Morgan said.
Besides, Ryan Chase is busy going after the one girl who couldn't care less.
Me?
Kaylee fluffed her hair. I don't blame him.
No, Morgan said. Tessa.
Tessa rolled her eyes. Oh, please. I'm just an ego bruise to him. The less I care, the more he tries to win me over. And I know this because yesterday he said, Tessa, the less you care, the harder I'm going to try to win you over.
My skin burned with envy. I couldn't master this kind of apathy no matter how hard I tried. I was built to care, to notice, to overanalyze, to try. In a way that felt inalterable. When we finally hit the track at the bottom of the bleachers, Kaylee announced that she needed a bathroom stop.
Me too, Morgan said. Meet you guys by the concession stand?
Tessa and I made our way into a more open area where we could walk side by side. I parted my lips to say something, but the words dissipated in my mouth. Across the walkway, I saw Aaron, standing with some friends. The people between us went blurry, moving past.
Not possible. Am I hallucinating? Did I hit my head?
My hand flew to my chest as if I could hold my racing heart inside of me. I almost cried out and ran to him. But no, of course not. It was Jacob, his younger brother. My thoughts became disjointed. The dark hair, the same chin and nose. But he was a little shorter, a little skinnier. Longer hair. Of course it was his brother. But the Rosenthals moved. Homecoming. He must be here visiting friends. A freshman now. I wanted him to disappear. I'd only ever met him a few times, so I had nothing to say. I didn't even want him to see me. But I stood, paralyzed. Without warning, Tessa linked our hands and said, "Hey, I'm kind of chilly. Let's go back to the car." She pulled me forward before I could respond. Do you know what I was just thinking about? The 4th of July carnival when we were 12, do you remember? She asked, chattering in this weird, nervous way. I blinked, confused by the tangent, but she kept going, tugging me. Remember how I wanted to go on the Ferris wheel because I'd never tried it? We were already at the edge of the parking lot, hurrying past the crowds. I wanted to ask why the hell she was being so frenzied. But she didn't stop talking long enough for me to try. We got all latched in, and even though I didn't think I was afraid of heights because I'm in airplanes all the time, I got woozy before the ride even started. Do you remember?
Yeah, we couldn't get off because people were still getting loaded on the ride. But Tess,
By the time we're stopped at the top, I was almost hyperventilating, so dizzy and sick. And you leaned over the edge of our cart and yelled to the guy running it, asking if we could come down.
And he ignored me.
I was breathing hard from our pace. He ignored you. Tessa agreed. I begged you to distract me from how panicked I felt, and so you recounted the entire
Ferris wheel scene from the Notebook, I said. I remember.
And it helped for a while. Then you tried to yell down to the guy again, and when he ignored you again, do you remember what you yelled?
My mouth formed a shaky smile. I did remember.
We had reached her car, now standing right behind it. Tessa said, "Excuse me, sir, we have a barfer up here." And he let us right out. I ran off the ride, so overwhelmed with adrenaline and relief that I started sobbing. You walked me over to the area behind the snow cone stand so no one would see me cry. You stood with me and hugged me until I was done.
I remember, I said, shivering against the chill in the air. What does this have to do with anything, Tess? I just saw.
My voice broke, imagining his face again, and tears filled my eyes. Jacob Rosenthal, she said. I know. And I was getting you to the snow cone stand where no one would see you. I was crying into my hands before she'd even finished talking.
I thought he was a ghost, I whispered between breaths like hiccups. He looks so much
like Aaron.
I know. She hugged me, letting me lean against her shoulder. It startled me, too. I couldn't believe how easily my brain believed it was him.